The scripture reading this afternoon is from Acts chapter 4. We read the verses 1 through 12. Acts 4, verses 1 through 12. And there we read the holy word of God. And as they spake unto the people, they are Peter and John, speaking to the people who have come in the temple. The priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them who heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, or by what name, have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people, and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men why we must be saved." So far the reading of the Holy Word of God. Congregation, we wish to meditate on the Heidelberg Catechism this afternoon, and I call your attention to Lord's Day 11. Lord's Day 11 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And there we confess with the Church, why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves or anywhere else? They do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true: that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. So far. Beloved congregation, boys and girls, you will know that account, what we find in Scripture, when Peter and John went up to the temple to pray, and that happened right after Pentecost. They went to the temple to pray. And they came through a gate that the people called the Beautiful Gate, because it was a shining, beautiful gate. When the sun would shine upon it, it would reflect in beautiful, like gold and copper. It looked very beautiful. And then at the bottom of that gate, there is a very sad person. A man who is a cripple. He can't walk. And he sits there every day. He can't work. He can only beg. So his mom and dad put him there every morning. And when people go into the temple, they want to do a good work and they give him some money. So that's where he is. And he holds up his hand every day for a penny or two. That's how it goes. And then Peter and John walk past him. And again he lifts up his hand. Have pity on the poor. Have pity on the poor. An alms, please. And Peter hears him. And he stops. And the man looks up at them. Because he thinks, I'm going to get something. And then Peter looks at that beggar and says in Acts 3, verse 6, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. But the man can't walk. And what does Peter do? He takes him by the hand, lifts him up, and immediately the man feels strength in his legs, and he starts to walk, what he never could do, and he jumps up and down, he leaps for joy, he goes into the temple where he was never allowed to be, because he was a cripple. And you couldn't go into the temple if you were a cripple, then you were deformed, and no one who was deformed could go into the holy temple. But now he can go there. And the people realize, that's that beggar. Look at his clothes, it's beggar clothes. And what's he doing? Jumping up and down here in the temple. The people are amazed and they come too close to that man and more people are coming. The whole crowd gathers there. And the man stands beside Peter and John because they healed him. That's what he thinks. And Peter explains to all those people what has happened. In Acts 3, verse 16, he says, and in his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name of Jesus, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So because of faith in the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus has made him to be strong. And that's what you can see. Peter is referring repeatedly to the name of Jesus. Jesus has healed this man. And there's so many people. And Peter starts preaching to them that they should trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is risen from the grave, and the people know and remember who Jesus is. Some of them may have shouted, away with him, crucify him. And now they see that he is still powerful. Because this man, he can walk. And then Peter explains to them what has happened, and he preaches to them, and then the high priest comes along, and other priests, and the temple police, who have to make sure that everything is orderly in the temple, and they don't like it, what's happening. These two Galileans are preaching, and so they arrest him, Peter and John. And they take that man who was healed along too, and the next morning, Peter and John have to give an account before the Jewish council. And there Peter again refers to the name of the Lord Jesus. He is no longer afraid for the Jews. He knows this same council has crucified the Lord Jesus. And maybe they're going to crucify him as well. Well, if that's to be, it'll be. But I know the Lord Jesus is in full control That's what Peter knows. So I'm in His hand. Nothing can happen to me outside of the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he powerfully preaches and says in Acts 4 verse 10, what we read, "Be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him does this man stand here before you whole, healthy." And then he goes on. He comes to the application. He's preaching to those high priests, to the Sanhedrin, to the council. And he says in verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other." There's no salvation in doing the works of the law. There's no salvation in being very precise. There's salvation in none other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's so universal, so general. Under heaven, all mankind, there's only one name whereby they can be saved. The name of Jesus. And that's what we're referring to now in the Catechism. The name of Jesus. And that name means Savior. That's what the angel said to Joseph when Joseph had that dream, when Joseph wanted to go away from Mary because she was expecting a baby and Joseph was not the father. He thought, "Something has gone wrong. Mary has been unfaithful to me." He wanted to go away, and then the angel appears to him and says, "Joseph, thou son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because what she has is not from a man, but from the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Why Jesus? "For," the angel says, "he shall save his people from their sins." That's what Jesus means. Savior. The Catechism is giving here in this, explaining to us the name of Jesus. Actually, what the Catechism is doing here is slowly working through the Apostolic Confession of Faith. And that's a confession we read every Lord's Day afternoon. "I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth," and so on. We just seen creation some weeks ago, and 2 weeks ago we saw God's care for creation in providence, and now the Catechism is leading us through this confession of faith. And so it now comes to Jesus Christ, because it says there, "I believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, our Lord." So you find four names here given in this apostolic confession of faith. Four names: Jesus, that's Savior; Christ, that means anointed; Son of God; and our Lord. So the Catechism is going to slowly work through all those names. It's beautiful. There are so many names for the Lord Jesus in the Bible. So many names. I think nearly 100. So many names. Wonderful. Counselor. The Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. The Rose of Sharon. He is the Shiloh. And so on and so on. He is the Alpha, the Omega, beginning, the end, and so on. But the names Jesus Christ are his personal names. The other names, they describe something of the Lord Jesus. That he is wonderful, that he is beautiful, that he is, well, all-powerful. But Jesus is his personal name. And Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua or Hosea. That's the same name, actually. And we find a prophet in the Bible, Hosea. We find Joshua, who led the people into the promised land. We also find the high priest Joshua in the days when the Israelites came back from exile. So we find the name Joshua back for a prophet, a priest, and a king. And it all refers to the Lord Jesus, Savior. So the Catechism tells us then, why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? And the answer is because He saves us and delivers us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can we find salvation in any other. So this name of Jesus is a beautiful name. He is the Savior. And what does it mean to save? That means, in the Bible, to save means to save from the greatest misery and to give the highest blessing. So a sinner is saved from a terrible life on his way to hell, and he is saved and brought into the glories of everlasting life in heaven. That's what it means to save. And that's why this is such blessed good news. It's a blessed message. There are many people in this world who claim that they can deliver us, but it all amounts to nothing. There are people who point out a way for salvation. And so Buddha, this man Buddha who lived many centuries ago, he claimed that if you, through meditation, you can kind of shut yourself off from all the suffering, and then you don't feel that suffering anymore, and you can finally gain, salvation, being one with the gods. That's what Buddha taught the people. He showed them the way that he thought. And in Hinduism, there they tell you, you have to live very well. And if you live very well, when you die, you will come back into this world. Because life is a wheel, it turns around and around. And you die, you come back. And you die, you come back. So if you live well, then you'll come back in a higher being. But if you misbehave yourself, you come back in a lower being. An animal or so. Whatever it is. And so they claim they can give you deliverance. And Mohammed told the people that they had to live according to certain standards, and then if Allah would allow them, they would be able to be in paradise. But their view of paradise is totally different than the Bible tells us. But all these religions, they show you a way. But it's all fake. It's all fake. Why is it fake? Because there's no payment given for sin. That's why it's fake. And it's all invented by men. And they never can prove it that it's true. That's why it's all fake. All religions are not the same. It cannot be, because they also teach different things. If you say something is black, it can't be white at the same time. You can't say that's the same. It's not the same. And why is the Lord Jesus the Savior? Because He didn't say, I'll show you a way. He says, I am the way. And He proved it by bringing the full, finished, perfect sacrifice for sin. And He arose from the dead on the third day. He said, I am the resurrection. No other man ever dared say that. And that's why there is salvation in none other than in the name of Jesus. And that's why the Lord Jesus is a perfect, full Savior. And His name is announced under heaven. It cannot be any broader than that. We are sinners. And all other religions, they say that if we do our best, then their gods will accept that. Well, that's a very low view of God. Christianity has the highest view of God. Because God is so high, so holy, so majestic, that if you want to offer Him payment for your sins, it has to be a perfect payment. Otherwise, it's not acceptable. The Lord God will not put up with some half-baked payment and a few tainted good works. No. The Lord God demands a perfect payment. Perfect payment. And no man can give that. And that's why God so loved the world that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. And He was sinless. He could bring the perfect payment. And how is a person then saved? Through Jesus, yes, but how then? By resigning the totality of your life to the Lord Jesus. That the Lord Jesus becomes your life. And then the aim of your life is to know Him and to live with Him and to love Him as this name of Jesus become precious to you. Does He have the highest priority in your life? His Word, His church, His future, His people. Has that become most precious to you? Because if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, that He fills your life, you may have gained much in this world, but ultimately you are wasting your life if you do not know the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. We need to do so many things in life, so many things, so many appointments and so much that must be done. But there's only one thing that needs to be done. One thing is needful. And that is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you haven't done anything else, but if you've done that, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have not lived in vain. And your life is not wasted. Because the greatest problem of our life is not sickness, is not surgery, is not even pain, but it's sin. And who can save you and me from sin? Who can remove that punishment of sin? Who can change your heart that sin starts to die, it becomes weaker, and the Lord Jesus and the work of the Spirit become stronger? Who can do that? Only the Lord Jesus through His Spirit. When you know grace in your life, you desire one thing: to be delivered from sin. And that's a longing the Lord works through His Spirit in your heart. It's the Holy Spirit who opens your eyes for the corruption, because He will convict of sin. And why sin? Because they believe not on Me, the Lord Jesus says. That's sin. You don't believe the Lord Jesus. He says, don't do that, and we do it. It's our unbelief that we live our lives and we ignore Him. That's unbelief. That we sit in church, say beautiful things about the Lord Jesus, but in our heart He's not there. That's unbelief. And it's the Holy Spirit who convicts you of that. And when you see that, then you say, wretched man that I am. And you desire to be renewed. Your soul thirsts for the living God. You have a godly sorrow. And then you desire that sin will die. But that doesn't happen overnight. It's a lifelong process. And even the most dedicated of God's children have only a small beginning of this perfect obedience. But it will happen when they leave this life. Then sin dies off and that they are with the Lord forever. And there they will serve Him without any shortcoming, without any sin. And while you're here in this life, there are still temptations. There are still struggles. But the Lord Jesus, He may be your hope. And He must be your hope, for He will deliver you, save you from your sins. He will save you from the punishment of sin. He will save you from the pollution of sin. He will cause you in this life to have a different life, a new life, in which you are delivered from sins, from sinful attitudes, from sinful customs. And you learn to deny your own self for Him. And you lay yourself low before Him. And you desire Him, this blessed name of Jesus. How sweet the name of Jesus. Then it's not about your name or my name. They can be forgotten. But that His name, that He may live in us. That's how the Holy Spirit works. So who will find salvation in the Lord Jesus? Are there those people who will try to improve themselves? Who will do their best and then they find salvation? No. Our achievements will not work salvation. Trying to improve yourself will not work salvation. What will work salvation? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting in Him. Resigning your life to Him. That's a great miracle. That the gospel comes to us. And that the Lord Jesus is moved as the good shepherd. He is moved with lost sheep. He is moved with those who suffer the consequences of sin. Who suffer the power of sin in their own lives. Who cannot save themselves. Who lie in their guilt and their corruption. There's life for you in Jesus Christ. And we find that further in the next question and answer. Because do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? Do they believe in Jesus? The answer is they do not. Though they boast of Him in their words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by true faith receive this Savior, must find everything necessary for their salvation in Him. So it's either nothing or everything. That's how it is with the Lord Jesus. You cannot find salvation in yourself. You cannot find salvation by doing your best. It's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that doesn't mean that we can just live sloppy lives and we can live sinful lives because all our efforts will not save us anyway. Well, then you are deliberately sinning. And then you're blaspheming the name of Jesus. And you increase your guilt. And the Lord can be very displeased with you and remove His salvation, His grace from you. There are people who never hear a gospel message. Some of them have sinned so much that they do not hear a gospel message anymore. And when they do hear it, they resent it. Because the Spirit does not work in their hearts. They've given them up to sin. And there are also many people who have not given themselves up to sin, but who still never hear a gospel message. They live in heathen countries. What a privilege you and I have. We're not better than they are. But we may hear the gospel. And so we should pray for those people, that the gospel may reach them as well. And that's why we pray every Lord's Day often, that the Lord would extend His church to people who do not know Him. Last week at Synod, there was a man from Asia. We examined him and he never knew the gospel. He never knew of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord came into his life through the testimony of a certain teacher who taught him English. And then from one thing another thing came, the Lord drew him. And now he has been requested to be a professor of theology in an Asian country. Because it's the Lord who works and draws sinners. That's glorious. That's the best news around. I've talked to people who were ardent communists, raised that there's no God, and now they preach the gospel. That's the work of the Lord, working in those countries, drawing sinners to salvation. And that's why we pray for those nations. We should all do it at home too, because the Lord hears your prayer. He listens to your prayer. He does according to your prayer. Ask and you shall receive. And so you can pray for people in faraway nations you will never meet on this side of the grave. But God hears your prayer. The Lord knows perfectly what you mean. And the Lord does it. Well, the Catechism also refers to the saints. That was current in the days of the Heidelberg Catechism, but it's still current today. There are people here in Dundas who call upon saints. The Roman Catholic Church teaches them that they can pray to saints. Who are saints then? Well, they are people of God who died in previous centuries, and somehow they say they did more good works than bad works. The Roman Catholic Church determines that, and then they are proclaimed to be a saint, a special child of God, and that you can pray to them. They hear you and they will go to the Lord Jesus in heaven and pray for you. It's all nonsense. It's unbiblical. It is defiling the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's why Roman Catholic theology is blaspheming that precious name of Jesus. Because it's either you trust in the Lord Jesus with all you have and you find everything in Him, or you kind of seek help from saints and you will find nothing. We can also have saints. We? It's possible. How then? Well, then you become dependent on certain people. You wonder, do I really know the Lord Jesus or not? And you go to someone and ask of him, do you think I know the Lord Jesus? And he says, yeah, I think you do. But that's not what we should be doing. We're not going to trust other people to make a judgment on us. It's not that we have to explain to other people how we were converted, that you explain your way, what you experienced, what you all or went through, and then they will judge if that's genuine or not. No way. You go with your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. And He will show you. He will tell you. He's the living God. We don't need approval of other people. We need only His approval. The Lord. So, how do we gain faith? How do we gain salvation? It's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we know that. What does that mean then? I said already, to trust in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's to bow down before Him. Read Scripture. What did people do when they fled to the Lord Jesus? The thief on the cross, what did he say? Lord, when Thou art come into Thy kingdom, wilt Thou remember me? Think of me for my good. Thou Son of David, have mercy. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's how sinners cry out to Jesus for salvation. Because we are entangled in our sin, like a robe full of uncleanness. And we'll try to pull it off. You can't. There's only one way: to bow before the Lord Jesus. And He removes those filthy garments. And He clothes a sinner with the robes of righteousness. For there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. But you say, yes, you see, I'm only praying to God that I would be saved. I'm not even thinking so much about the honor of God. No, I see myself as a sinner and I know I must be saved. And I don't hardly know how, and I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, but I'm only thinking about my salvation. I guess that's not enough. I guess that's not valid. Because I have to be focused upon His honor. And I'm just thinking about myself, that I need to be saved. Is that allowed? Is that right? Yes, that's right. You may come to the Lord Jesus with a desire to be saved. Because in reality you're doing the Lord no greater honor than looking away from people, looking away from yourself, and looking up to Him for salvation. Remember me. Now that Thou art come in Thy kingdom, be merciful to me, the sinner. You are honoring God by calling upon the name of Jesus. And the Lord will accept you. And so you may cast yourself down. And you may say, Lord, I believe. Help Thou mine unbelief. And when you see that you have no faith, I find it so hard to believe. I know it's true. And I believe the Word of God is true. But to say for myself that I have that rich trust, I don't dare say that. I wish I had it. Well, you may flee to Him. Because He saves fully. And what is needed for salvation? It's faith. He works faith. He works it through His Word, through His Spirit. It's not just that it comes into you. No, by looking at His Word, He will work faith, but He does it. He is a perfect Savior. He worked salvation and He applies salvation. He makes sure that all His people are saved. He does it. And so you may come to Him with nothing of yourself. And then it's not about praising the Lord Jesus with your lips. We can easily do that, but it's trusting in Him. leaning upon Him. Your name can be full of, our lips can be full of Jesus. To use an extreme example, you may have heard of the Jesuits. They are Roman Catholic order, group of men. They call themselves Jesuits. They are the followers of Jesus. That's what they say. But you know what they do? They want to promote the power of the Pope. Because they say the Pope is the representative of Jesus. So that the Pope must have full authority. Nearly divine authority in the church. That's what the Jesuits do. And you can do anything as long as it promotes the papal authority. So you can excite nations to revolution. You can lie, you can kill, you can plot, you can torture, you can do anything you want as long as the papal throne is elevated. Those are the Jesuits. They have the name, their lips full of Jesus, but they know nothing of the Lord Jesus. Have you learned to rest only upon the name of Jesus? Have you written yourself off, and that you so come to Him that you bow before Him in truth, and that you say, I need Jesus, or else I perish, and that you loathe your pride, you loathe your sins? You know, the hungry are satisfied with goods, but the rich are sent away empty. That's how it is with the Lord Jesus. So you may come as a hungry soul to this perfect Savior. And He will fill you. He has said already, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. So you look to Him. You desire Him. That He would teach you the way you must go. That He would teach you obedience to Him. That He would lay His Spirit upon you, His love upon you. That He would give you wisdom, perseverance, strength, humility, self-denial, patience. There's more than that. Abundant enough in the Lord Jesus. And that's why there's no reason any one of us should perish, because the name of Jesus is powerful to save all of us here to the uttermost. Amen. Shall we close with prayer? And so, Lord, we come again to Thee to give Thee thanks for Thy precious word and for that beautiful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That through Thee, O Lord Jesus, there is full salvation. O Lord, may Thy name be very sweet and precious to us. And wilt Thou work with Thy Holy Spirit that we may learn to spell the name of Jesus. O wilt Thou remember each one of us. Also in the coming weeks, wilt Thou keep Thy servant and his wife and our two friends as we wish to travel through North America. Wilt Thou watch over us, bring us safely back again? Wilt Thou keep the congregation and protect her? Wilt Thou go with us also this day further when the graduation of the Sunday school may take place? Wilt Thou give Thy blessing and favor? We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.